Welcome to the Business Facilities Podcast, where we're focused on discussing strategies to help business owners, corporate site selectors, and site selection consultants make the best location decisions for companies across a range of industries. I'm your host, Ann Cosgrove, the Editorial Director of Business Facilities. At the most recent Business Facilities Live Exchange event, which took place October 4th through 6th, 2023 in Columbus, Ohio, I had the opportunity to sit down with several of our event attendees for one-on-one conversations, focusing on an aspect of their work in site selection. One of these conversations is presented to you now in this podcast. We hope you enjoy. Hello, I'm sitting here today with Jeff Trone, Managing Director of Site Selection with Vista Site Selection, an ancillary of Voris. We're going to talk a little bit today about the aerospace industry and site selection and what Jeff is seeing out there in terms of the tactics that these firms can take. So thank you, Jeff, for joining me today.
Thanks very much.
So can you please just give us a framework of what your company does, what you do working with aerospace clients, and you know, what kind of services do you offer?
The core of Vista Voris is really analytics. We spend a lot of money on both databases and database analysts to break out a much more detailed analysis of a company's relative competitive position in any competition. And my background is a little over 30 years with Lockheed Martin, and then the last eight working as a consultant in the aerospace industry. So I tend to focus on aerospace and defense companies.
So can you talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing as far as trends, what aerospace firms are looking for in site selection, and the bigger picture, of course, of what is impacting their site selection decisions today?
The biggest issue is workforce. It's very difficult to find both engineers on the white-collar side and the trained and skilled machinists and welders you need to weld exotic metals that are used in aerospace work and to machine them. So location, the ability to have huge plants with 4,000 people in them has become more and more difficult, and location analysis is imperative in order to be competitive. So our model asked them in the early part of the proposal phase to look at two heritage sites, and we'll look at the workforce demographics there. Look at the competitor site in great detail. And for the competitor site, we can use cell phone data to track the location of people so we can figure out what the worker population is of that particular competitive plant. We can then cross-reference that with other databases to get the income demographics, those people and the age demographics, mm-hmm. to figure out exactly what the workforce looks like at the competitor to get what's called in the industry a true price to win. And then we ask for two more locations, and what we do is look around the country. We will match the workforce demographics that are required by the proposal to every region across the U.S. and look for cities and towns and counties that have a workforce demographics that matches the proposal at a lower labor cost. And that allows the client to bid lower than his competition.
So as far as this analytics tool, can you kind of maybe talk about some of the work that you've done with it in terms of, maybe a client that you've worked with? You don't have to name them, of course, but maybe, you know, a situation where it's come into play that you've seen so far?
Well, I have a case study we use in our seminar for a satellite truck, essentially something NASA's looking at to fuel satellites and repair them in high Earth orbit, which is there's no capability for right now. And we were looking only at the software development portion for the avionics that would drive the satellites to get where it needs to go. The company picked a location in San Jose, California, because engineering liked the engineering there, and it's a development contract, which is good. But the competitor was in Houston, Texas, where the labor rates are 30% lower than San Jose. And so it was going to be a waste of bid and proposal money to spend $3 or $4 million bidding this proposal out of San Jose, California, because you were going to come in $1 billion high.
$3 or $4 million, you said, in terms of the proposal.
Yeah,
saving
proposals
them.
Are expensive on a major contract. And so we looked at an alternate location the company had in Huntsville, and then we looked at around the country for enclaves of workers that fit, and we found four cities: Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Indianapolis, Indiana, Kansas City, Kansas, and Cincinnati, Ohio. And that had significant, good, great demographics with significantly lower labor rates than the competition would have. And we picked Cincinnati and Kansas City because we deemed both those states to have much more aggressive business incentive policies. So the final answer matches the lower labor cost and great workforce demographics with a hefty aggressive incentive package from the state to enable the bidder to bid lower.
And then, of course, the available land and available site has played into that process as well.
Yeah, and aerospace is a unique industry. Most people that are going to build a new plant and spend a lot of money on it, like Toyota in the commercial side, will just build a new plant because a turn in their production line is worth 5% of cost and it doesn't work. Aerospace contracts tend to run 5 to 7 years, and you really just want to have the, you make your money on labor, you really just want to have the infrastructure in place for as long as you need it. So they're much more willing to set up a data center in an old supermarket, for example, or set up in an existing building that's been left idle. So as part of the incentive package, we'll look for a community that's stuck with a building where the manufacturer moved out, building sitting empty, and they have no real cost associated with it other than mothball maintenance, to get what's termed in the industry a discount or a rebate lease, where I essentially trade you inexpensive lease rates for jobs. And it's really a cool industry to do because under the federal acquisition regulation, all the incentives we get from state and local government have to go back to the federal government customer. We can't hide them and turn them to profits. So there's really no corporate welfare argument here. It's basically the state and local government are partnering with the aerospace company to lower their overall cost in order to win federal business and bring those jobs to their locality.
Right. Okay.
And they're great jobs. They're usually 200% of the county average wage.
And you mentioned data centers, but for this analytics tool, are you using it mainly for the manufacturing projects? Is that?
It's actually very broad.
Okay.
So we actually do a lot of work on the commercial sector. We looked at, give you an example, we looked at a developer that was trying to lure a major retailer to be his anchor for his shopping center, which is kind of a standard model for years. And the retailer had a store about 3 miles away from their site, so they said, well, and it wasn't doing very well, so they said, well, that just there's no reason for us to build a new store or to take on a new lease in your shopping center. Using cell phone demographics and some other databases, we were able to show that people in that area were driving past the older store to a duplicate store across town 18 or 20 miles away because the store was archaic. And so that proved to the retailer that, yeah, his problem was his store was archaic, not the location, and he could pick up a lot more business if he put it in the new location that we were proposing.
Okay.
Some more work we do, if you're looking for new sites as a retailer, we will calculate the workforce demographics for your most successful sites and for your least successful sites. And then, as we do for aerospace, we'll scan the entire country looking for regions that have workforce demographics that match your customer or customer demographics that match your best stores. And those are the places you should be locating new stores because the demographics show that those people are going to show up.
That's amazing that you can scan that you have the analytics that scan the entire nation like that. And so what is the time frame if a client was coming to you? Does it vary by project, I would imagine, scope? But what is the time frame of, we're going to, you know, give us this information, we're going to feed it into this analytics system, and you know, now we're going to, you know, be able to give you some concrete information? You know, what does that look like?
Well, retail stuff, we can do in a week or two.
Oh, okay.
We have a pretty mostly automated system that we just plug in the coefficients and look for. We build the algorithm, plug in the coefficients, and then the computer does the rest of the work locating where there's value. For aerospace, I always tell aerospace companies, I don't know if you're familiar with the federal government contracting process, but they have a whole pre-process, and then they'll issue the federal RFP for a bid and want it done in 90 days or 60 days. And the mistake in the industry is to begin bidding when that final 60, 90 day period. What you want to do is get involved 2 to 3 years before the procurement and set up your entire incentive plan, pick your location, and do all that analysis before you're under the gun to submit a proposal to the federal government. And they will normally put out what's called a sources sought. So if the military or NASA has developed a need, they'll put out a sources sought statement saying, this is what we want to do, who thinks they can do it? and then you'll write a short technical proposal on why you can do it, and if you're approved, then you know you're going to be in the bidding list for the final RFP. But that may be 18 months ahead of the RFP or 24 months ahead of the RFP, so it gives you plenty of time to do the analysis to really be most cost efficient. Federal work is awarded on three factors: technical, past performance, and cost. And they have commodity procurements, which means all we're going to award on is cost. And then they have best value awards, which are the mix of the three. Mm-hmm. But the industry's consolidated so much that it's usually Lockheed Martin bidding against Raytheon, bidding against Northrop Grumman. So everybody's technically good. And the engineers tend to pass around back and forth to company now. Mm-hmm. So everybody is technically good. And all those companies have great past performance histories on contracts. So no matter how much of best value it is, the decision often comes down to cost. And by picking the right labor market and getting an aggressive incentive package, you can take 10 to 12% out of your proposal, and that's enough to win.
That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time and for talking about this topic with us today. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for listening. For information about participating in Business Facilities Live Exchange events as a site selection attendee or as a sponsor, visit bfliveexchange.com. The 20th Annual Business Facilities Live Exchange will take place in spring 2024 in Richmond, Virginia. The event will be held at the Omni Richmond Hotel from March 17 through 19, 2024. And stay tuned for the next episode of the Business Facilities Podcast.